We're going to pick it up a little bit. There's no one like Jesus. Amen. Isn't it all about him this morning? Hallelujah. That's what we're all here together for. Kiev. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. Oh, there's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. Oh, there's no one like him. Oh, I've traveled everywhere, but no one. Searched everywhere, but no one. I've searched everywhere, but no one. There's no one like him. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him.
Say amen. There's no one like him. You like that? Amen. How many believes that? No one like Jesus. You know what? There's no one like you either. Hallelujah. Some of you are glad, right? You're excited. I'm glad there's nobody like me. Hallelujah. Could be a couple of different reasons why that is. But you might not be the only one who's glad there's no one like you. Amen. Hallelujah. But I like the idea that there's no one like you because, like our thumbprints, no two thumbprints are exactly alike. Even twins, identical twins, have different thumbprints. Everything else is exactly the same. Nobody can, doctors, medical, they don't understand it. But it's because it proves one thing: your soul is unique to God. It's a God print, and it's unique to him, it's special to him, it means something to him. It ought to mean something to us. So don't try to be anybody else, don't try to be like anybody else, unless you want to try to be like Jesus. And you're okay, you're welcome to do that. You may be seated. Take a few minutes. We're going to just kind of open up today. We have a very unique day today. We're going to be having a testimony that I think is going to, if it doesn't blow your socks off, it ought to really wake you up to the fact that God is a God of redemption. We believe it, we say it, we speak it, we preach it, we amen it. But you may be right in the middle of redemption in your own life and don't even realize it. And the concept of redemption we think of often is, I was lost, miserable, no good, a sinner, and Jesus came and died and redeemed me. But the truth is, the word redemption means to buy back what was lost, or to place back into the proper position what had lost its position. When you think of the story of Samson in the Bible, he had lost everything. He was very successful in life. He was doing everything almost by God's divine plan for his life. He was getting results. He was a judge and a deliverer of Israel. He was doing amazing things for that great nation. And then he lost it all. Had his eyes pulled out. He was blind. He'd lost his strength, his capabilities, the thing he was very good at. He had lost contact with it. And nobody realized that God was going to give it back. But when God did, he was able to do more than he could do in the last part of his life than he did at the beginning. That's the story of redemption. That's what it means by redemption. Amen. So I want you to think of it in those terms today. And I've just got a scripture I will quote to you because you all know it by heart, but it's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? And I've got something I want to read to you real quick out of a book called And God Was the Word. I know it sounds strange, it sounds reversed, but in actual Greek, that's how it's written, And God Was the Word. And you could use it interchangeably. But it has a significant difference. But what I liked about this book was this first little paragraph. We live in an age where every man picks the word that will be his God. When you think of the word was God. So he's just trying to show an example, and it's very powerful what he brings up. Because you all realize, how many realize, we live in the information age. It's the most word age ever. Anybody now can spill words out for the whole world to read. You couldn't do that 20, 30 years ago. And it says, our leaders set up as idols those words that they deem to be our gods. Thanks to the ever-changing technology, words surround us today as never before in history. Books don't even need to be burned or censored anymore. The truth actually is determined by the information which is proclaimed the loudest. In other words, anyone's perceived truth. A simple look at how quickly the definitions of human gender and marriage has changed or have changed in a generation throughout Western democratic society reveals this. Freedom of speech is a beautiful thing, but worship of speech is idolatry that corrodes the freedom. Words truly have become society's gods, the shapers of man's destiny. I just like what he's saying there because we probably don't even realize it, but we have our own pet sayings. We have our little things that we spew out. Maybe we complain. Maybe we get upset. Those are our gods. What you say the most is what you worship. But the Bible is truly proclaiming God himself is the word. And the words we should be speaking should be God's words. Does that make sense? In the beginning, it says, was the word. And the Bible tells us a little bit later on that, and the word, by everything that was made by the word. God created everything by the spoken word. Genesis chapter 1:1. You go through and read it. God created everything by the spoken word. The spoken word has power. Is that true? And yet, every time God made something, every day he created something, he said, it is good. He stamped it with his seal. It is good. It is good. You know, let's make sure that our words end with, it is good. We should be able to end our day and say, what did I speak today? Did everything I speak today, was it building or tearing down? Was it making or was it destroying? Can we say, it is good? That's why the Bible says, don't go to bed, don't go to sleep, don't let the sun set on your angry words. Make it right with your wife, with your husband, whatever it is, because those are your words. Those are your gods. Amen. Think of it that way. It's divine to be able to speak. And then there's one place where God finally finishes all creation. He puts man on earth, and there's one solitary man walking around on earth, and God says, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. Amen? Something's missing. In a perfect setting, in a perfect paradise, something is missing. He's missing his companion. He's missing the one that can share words with him. You see it? Hallelujah. And I've always asked the question to anybody who's a believer or a Christian, why would God even understand that? How can God say something if he doesn't understand it? Sometimes we speak words that we think we don't even understand what we're saying, but how can God do that? Because God understood being alone. There was a time when God was alone. Doesn't matter what your belief system is, there was a time when God was alone. He related to that. And the whole purpose of making human beings was so God would no longer be alone. He will have a family. But the fact is, he understood that God was to be alone. I'm going to ask you a question today, and we're going to change up what we're doing here in just a minute here and introduce our guests. But how many here can say, I've felt alone? How many here has ever felt alone? How many here feels like you're an honest person? I should get every hand up. How many here is honest? All right. I see the same hands that are honest, the same hands that said they're willing to say, I've felt alone. Maybe you've never felt alone. It's possible. But how many here has ever felt rejected? Right? How many here has ever felt that no one cared? Or almost no one cared? You just felt that empty about it. How many here has felt like a failure? Not the young people, right? Oh, that's good. All right. Young people are being really honest. This is good. How many here has had just a consuming regret in your life? You wished you hadn't or something hadn't happened. Anyone ever felt defeated? There's the song we just heard that he's a rose trampled on the ground. He was rejected and alone. When Jesus was on a cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? On a cross, you know you're rejected by human beings. You're completely rejected by society. Nobody cares. But when you realize you're also rejected by God, that's got to be a pretty bad feeling. Alone and rejected. My God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of people think he was quoting the Psalms. David said, my God, why have you? But really, David was quoting Jesus. Well, how can that be? It was so because he was in the Spirit and he was brought forward into the future, which can happen. And he was experiencing Calvary, Christ in David experiencing Calvary, because David was in a cave by himself, running from, the Philistines running from King Saul. He was alone, and he could feel that, and it was Christ in him. My God, why have you rejected me? You know why Jesus was able to do that? You know why Jesus let himself be put in that position? For you. Because he didn't want you to ever have to feel alone ever again. And when you accept Almighty God into your heart and life, you are no longer alone. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter if the whole world turns you down, you still have a great friend in your life. You have Jesus, and he'll hold you when you can't hold anything else. He'll take care of you. So all those things we talked about, feeling alone, rejected, feeling like a failure, feeling regret, defeated, those are all things that my good friend and the one who's going to be speaking today has experienced. And his wife is here with us too, and she's experienced many of these things too. Rob and Cheryl Detweiler have gone through tremendous challenges in life that most of us probably haven't gone through at all. Rob himself was a victim. He was doing very well. He was very successful early on in life. And I remember when we met years and years ago, probably 30-something years ago, I don't know. He was young, and he just had this great handshake. He looked you in the eye and would say all these wonderful, positive words. And I love that about him. I said, man, this guy, that's why I never forgot you. He just always knew how to make an impression. And I don't know if my brother Mark had met him before, but I know so Paul LaFontaine, as you know, he was in my wedding. He knows Rob real well. So great connections. And then we just lost contact. We just didn't see each other again for years and years. And I had no idea what he was going through. I know he had no idea what my life was like. But he was doing extremely well financially in life. And he ended up not knowing, but he was a victim of one of the largest Ponzi schemes in Arizona. Unfortunately, he lost everything. And when he lost everything, it meant he lost his finances, his home, his family. Everything was just disappeared on him. He ended up alone. In fact, for 2 years he had to just find a place to live, and lived for a whole year in a treehouse. You're going to see some footage. We're going to show that in a minute, and then we'll have Rob come up. You want us to play that first, my friend? And then he's going to share his testimony with you this morning. This is a little unusual. We're not having preaching and service like that, but I think a little bit I shared with you should be enough. Amen. But I want you to take everything you've heard and then listen to this story. It should impact your life, and he'll share a few points with you as well. So if we have a way to put that video up, we're going to do that right now. And then I want you to watch the real true story is about redemption. Amen.
grateful just to be alive.
And why I've decided to make a major change in my life. Transformation.
I want to share with you my story.
I wrote a letter to my family, and this is what it said. I've been living life in fear, frustration, lack, poverty, regret.
What I didn't change, and a message of hope, of how you never give up.
And feel like a complete failure. Failed as a provider, failed as a protector, as a husband. I promise I should be failed at that. I've been so down, never more down in my life.
I invested with a friend of 18 years, doing his business partner. My friends and family, well, they invested because they trusted in me.
Is it actually possible to get so low that there seems like no way out?
Turned out to be one of Arizona's largest Ponzi schemes. So they lost their life savings.
Really?
Where did you go from there? So I thought, well, maybe the only place I could possibly go was just to end it all. So I contemplated suicide.
I guess that's why people commit suicide, because they get so low.
But it ain't gonna help. And I thank God he's in my life, or I'd not be alive. And there was some internal voice that was crying out, you never give up.
I give people hope. Oh, I just want to inspire and encourage people. That's why I created Tamfulware. Because my belief is that your words create your reality. Because words are powerful.
But if I can do it, you can do it. My message to you, a message of hope. And that message is you never give up.
In fact, his strength was so amazing that I will share a moment with you. It'll be difficult for your mind to pick up how powerful he was. So Samson was pinned down against some rocks, and all he actually had with him as far as a weapon was nothing. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a knife. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have an AK-47. He didn't have any of that. So he found the one thing that was in his possession, and that was a bone from a donkey, right? So probably it was about this big. Now, in those days, the guys were armed with swords, and they had shields, and their armor was about an inch thick. So these were the Navy SEALs of the day. These were the these guys were war battle veterans, okay? They were killers. And there was 1,000 of them. How many people are in this city here? Small. Is it small or big? I'm way off. Okay. So it's a tenth of that. So there were 1,000 people, right? City I grew up in, there's like 4,000. So Samson takes that bone, okay, and his loincloth, and that's like what he had. That's it. You imagine this? This guy with a pair of underoos on and a bone. And he's going to go fight some Navy SEALs. I'm just trying to give you a picture. So the reason I'm giving you this picture is because this was a special ordained man with a gift. And God gave him a gift. Just like he gave you a gift, Mia. And Apollo gave you guys a gift. Right? And his gift was strength. And his strength and his gift was a war tactician. He was built and armed for war. Right, so his job was to kill the enemy. So just imagine this, that this guy with this bone, he went in, he started killing these guys that were the best in their day. And he killed 1,000 men with a bone. 1,000 Navy SEALs with a bone. It's difficult for the mind to imagine how that could actually happen. See, actually, that bone, if you were to have hit even just the helmet, which would have been an inch thick, it should have shattered to 1,000 pieces, but it didn't. And if you would have fought one or two of those guys, right, you would be out of strength. I mean, you ever watch those guys on UFC? Like, they go at it for 5 minutes and they're wore out. Could you imagine fighting with swords and sticks and armor and all that? And this guy is, he fought 1,000 of them. So there's another time, right? Samson, the strongest man that ever walked the face of the earth with a gift. What gift do you have? That's a question I have for you. And I'm going to relate this to me in a moment and to you. All of my speeches, all my talks, by the way, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm a speaker. And so that's why this is a little bit different this morning for you. So interesting enough is that he's pinned down behind the gates. And these gates of Gaza weren't just normal gates. These gates weighed as much as an empty cement truck. You ever seen the empty cement trucks driving down the road? Okay, you don't know if they're empty or full, but either way, you see them. Okay, now imagine this, that this small mortal man with red blood flowing through his veins, he goes over, like what would even give you the idea that you could just go lift these gates up off of the hinges, right? But science records how much torque it took to lift the gates up off the hinges and then the horsepower it took to walk them 32 miles up an elevation of 3,500 feet. Okay? It's difficult for our human mind to come, like, if you were to grab this chair, it'd be hard to walk it 100 yards, let alone an empty cement truck 32 miles. Okay? I'm giving you an example of the supernatural power of God. Okay? Now, like Samson, like you, and definitely like me, there are times in our lives where we have these gifts, and for some reason they don't get used, or we overlook them. Mistakes happen, as it did in Samson's life. And guess what happened to Samson, right? He subdued himself to the enemy, and which we, like I have. Like, I've been overcome by the enemy's tacticians and his way that he gets in, and he works through your mind, or he works through your eyesight. Like, whatever it is that he finds, the enemy knows your weakness. And he knew Samson's. And so that's where he got him. He's not going to fight you, your strength. He's going to come at you from your weakness. So there's Samson on the treadmill for 20 years. He's on like a treadmill for 20 years. You imagine that? 20 years on this treadmill, like pushing this thing around, right? You've been on a treadmill? Like, that's tough for 20 minutes, especially if you're doing a HIIT session. Okay? That will wear you out. This guy's on it for 20 years, okay? But somewhere in there, they forgot to trim his hair. They forgot. They forgot he was born with a gift. Just like you, we're born with a gift. And so Samson asks the young boy, eyes are pulled because he can't see, right? Take me to the pillars. Because he feels his strength coming back. Because he was born for war. He was born to kill the enemy. So he takes it off and he cries out to the Lord. Once more. It's one of our messages that we have on our shirts. As you saw my story, we do apparel and we do inspirational apparel. And we have a really small logo and really big words because that's what saved my life was words. Strength, courage, persevere, victorious, I heard yesterday, right? I love those words. And then we have words like faith and blessed. And so I want to wear those words that mean something. And it's interesting that in Genesis, if you read the fourth chapter of Genesis, you'll find there's 14 accounts where God said, God spoke, and God called. That means he used his words to create. Okay? Now, what's important here is that I'm no special guy at all. I just simply learned and am still learning the power of the spoken word, which I believe is the most powerful force there is in the world. And the reason I say that, that's a pretty big statement, by the way, right? Pretty big statement to say that. And the reason it's a big statement is because words have the power to create. Now, I don't think that there's anything greater than creation, right? He, you, and I have the power to create our world by the words that we speak, okay? And here's what Matthew says is that by your words, you are condemned, right? Or you're forgiven. There were three men on a cross one day. Remember those guys? Yeah, one of them wasn't really a man. He was a god, but he was a god man. Then there were two mortal men that were up there for whatever reason. One of them, with his words, asked for forgiveness. Essentially, right? Right? The other man condemned him. Do you see why those are two powerful? Two powerful statements. One went to hell, one went to heaven, to paradise. By just their words. They didn't do anything else different. Just that, that alone. So that's pretty important. Proverbs talks about life and death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Somewhere in my journey, somewhere in my time of trial, I realized that words were important to me. I realized that words, right, took me almost to the grave myself by what I was thinking about and then what I was speaking about in my life. And it's interesting because as I look back, I look at the things I was thinking about and then I was thinking about what I was saying. Because your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Then your actions become your habits, how you live your life. And then your habits become your lifestyle, how you live your life. That's the genesis, if you will. I have a poem I want to read to you guys that I wrote. I've wrote a handful of poems in my life. This, however, is kind of a special one. So I titled it Success is a Journey. So I talk a lot about the power words because I'm a power words expert. We've been around the world and we talk to companies, organizations, lots of high school students, and even some younger ones, you know, below high school. And we talk about words and how words can affect you and what they do to you. And so we've become an expert and we talk about that. And of course, then we wear them and there's so much science based behind the power of words that we're so new into really knowing the power of words and what they really can do. Not only the written word, which I'll get into in just a moment, because see, there was one in our generation that walked before us. And he created squirrels where there were no squirrels. And he spoke to a storm where there was a storm, and it went away. He gave me hope. He was the one to walk before to say it can be done. And that's what gives me hope, to know that I didn't have a wife at one time, right? And I spoke it, and this is the manifestation of the spoken word in my life. So I share that wherever I go, because I want to be one of those men that says, hey, if he could do it, and he's created squirrels, could I have that for my life? Because here's the deal, guys. At the end of all of this, by the way, I have not spoke in a message church. This is a treat for me because I have a God message that I don't get to share that very often. In the secular audiences that we speak to, I don't get a chance to share Jesus. I don't get a chance to share my Jesus story. It's a pretty cool story, right? Because he's the one who saved me. He's the one who guided me. And he's the one who, you know, brought me up out of the muck and the mire and gave me another story. Yeah, just a few years ago, I'm living in a treehouse. Just a few years ago, I'm thinking that my life is ready to end. Like, that's how bad it was for me, guys. Like, I was at the bottom where I couldn't help anybody. So I had to first learn how to help myself. And then when I learned how to do that, and that took me years to figure out, okay, if I can help myself first, I got to give myself air first, then maybe I can help other people. And now we've helped millions around the world with a story. And now we teach and train. It's so incredible with God. It's all God, right? And I give him all the glory. I can't always do that when I talk, right? They're like, what? You know, you can't talk about Jesus here, right? You can't talk about him in the schools. Can't talk about him in the companies that we go see. But you saw how I just, like, right in the center of it, I put that in. So that story has been shown to millions of people. Like really, right? Like, and it was God, like my anchor hill, that part right there. I love it. Success is a journey. Your life is a story meant to be, to succeed or fail, to be bond or free. You'd know something about that, wouldn't you? Success is a journey of learning to see what God intended you to be. Life is an attitude of what you make, of the challenges and risks you take. You can be happy or you can be sad. You can have a good day or a bad day. For life is a story, but you write the book of all the victories and trials you took. It's a bestseller book. But do you believe in who you are and what you'll achieve? Life is a journey and it'll take you afar as it has us. Your goal is the heavens, but you reach for the stars. The only limit there is the ones you make. And you make things happen by the risks you take. Success is a journey that teaches to live of what you do for others and how much you give. Living for others is never a loss. And that was proven by the man on the cross. So when you think you're low and you have no place to go, remember the man who had a plan. He left his kingdom above out of pure love. He died for you that you could see the true example of how we should be. So your life is a journey. Your life is a story. Living for others, remember, you wrote the book. So a story that, thank you. So we're, you saw we are on A&E, and A&E is pretty, it's the largest network there is on the channels. And they were, the Duck Dynasty played on that, Duck Dynasty at one time was the largest show on A&E. And so Duck Dynasty went away. And this other show comes up, and the other show was Rooster and Butch. So these are two, like, billionaires out of West Texas. And they have a reality investment TV show. And so we got selected to be on this reality TV show because of our business. So we went down to West Texas, and we you know, a lot of things happened. We didn't know, actually, that it was these guys. It was the guys. It was Rooster and Butch. And so there we are, my wife in her skirt, the entire time, right? We saw them five different times, and so they have probably the first time ever on a reality TV show you will see a lady, like a real lady, okay? If we can get real, a real lady that was on a reality TV show. And the first day, actually, they had us push this wheelbarrow. We showed up, and they have you do these unique things. We don't know, like, what the thing is. It's all reality. So we showed up, and I'm in, like, kind of dressed like I am today, and she had on a skirt and a shirt, and we had our bags. And so these guys, like, say, hey, listen, you want an investment, right? So just come and meet us, and we're at this, you know, we're down the road. And we had to put our bags in a wheelbarrow, and then we had to push the wheelbarrow to this diner. Well, I'm thinking the diner's like a couple hundred yards. It's got to be like maybe a quarter mile down the road. And I'm not a runner. She's a marathon runner, so she loves this stuff. I hate this stuff. Bags in the wheelbarrow, hot, 95-degree day, right? Humidity. You probably don't get a lot of that out here, but you do in Florida. Okay, you do? You get some of that? Okay. Anyways, we push this thing 2 miles. 2 miles. Okay, and I had to go get the bottom of my shoes fixed because it wore my shoes out. I think it wore part of me out. And it was rough day. That's what happened, okay, that day. So, you know, and here's my sweetheart in a skirt running West Texas freeway. It's awesome. And then they saw us as we're there with the cowboys up on the fence, and there she is in her skirt, right? And I read that poem on national TV. They forgot to show that part on TV, actually, but we did read it, okay? It was their part. Yeah, I talked about Jesus several times and thanked him the entire time, but they X'd that out. That wasn't about us, right? Yeah, they didn't add that part. So Samson, one of the most powerful men that ever walked the face of the earth, had challenges. David, you know the story about David? A little bit about him? Right? And some of the, my story ties into some of this because I wanted redemption for my life. And I really wanted to know that my life had meaning, it had purpose, and that I could do something with what I was a shepherd boy, right, at one time. And then I rose up and you know, I had money and I had achieved a certain amount of influence, if you will, in my life. And what happened was is I wasn't helping anybody at that place in that time. It was just a goal to get there, and I achieved that goal. I was fortunate to be able to achieve it. However, God's grace and his amazing mercy and all the things you might tie into that, right, led me down a different path. And I had to have everything stripped away from me. And then what emerged from the ashes was a story. Now, we've taken the story, and God's helped me to take that story and formulate it and use it and make something from that. Now we can take it and we can inspire others. We can encourage others by the power of their own words. And I kind of had to walk that path first, right? I had to prove that model out myself in the very beginning. That's why it's taken me several years, right, to do this. Like, this didn't just show up. No, it's something I had to go through. Success, if it comes really quickly, something's wrong, right? It doesn't happen right away. Success with the church doesn't happen right away. Success in a marriage doesn't happen right away. Success in your health and your finances, that takes time, and it takes energy, and it takes effort. But the amazing part is that will come, right? If you persist and you keep driving forward with persistent in your heart with your dream in mind. And so I had a dream. And my dream was to be able to help as many people as we possibly could. And I didn't know, honestly, where that would go. But I'm kind of like David a little bit. I love David. I have always wanted a heart like David, right? That heart that God loves so much that when he screwed up, which he did, he repented and he said, "Lord, I'm so sorry." It cost him, but he had that heart like David. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that for my life. It's interesting, the story of David, if you think back, right, greatest king that ever walked the face of the earth, in my opinion. I think he's one of the greatest kings that walked the face of the earth, I believe. And we could maybe have a debate on if we wanted to. But I love David, right? That heart, that, you know, and Samuel, he's like, "Hey, listen, one of your sons, he's going to be the king over Israel. Oh, listen, I got some good-looking sons. These guys are great warriors, good-looking guys, right? I mean, they know how to fight. Here, let me bring them out to you." He brings him out. "Nope, it's not this guy. No, it's not him." And he goes through how many? Do you guys know how many sons he had? Seven sons. Goes through all of them, right? And he's like, "What? You don't want these sons?" "No, man. Where's your other? You got another son?" "Well, yeah, but he's like, he's the you know, guy out in the field. He's hanging out with the sheep right now." "Well, go get that guy. That's the guy I want to see." And he's like, "Really? You don't like these seven awesome, good-looking dudes? Because they're warriors, man." "No, right? Jesus, he's got a different set of thoughts than we do, right?" Kind of hilarious when I think back at, you know, I'm living in a treehouse. All that wasn't too much fun, man. I wasn't like, who did I talk? Oh, you, it was, you were telling me, he's like, "Man, I wish I could live in a treehouse. I didn't want to live in no treehouse," right? Like, it was cool for the kids to hang out in, maybe overnight, but as a grown man, right, who had lots of money and everything, and subject to a treehouse, I think I would have maybe rather been in a van down by the river, right? Maybe not a cold river, but a nice river, okay? But I wasn't. I was in a treehouse, and it was okay. It was cool. But there's David, right? He brings him in. He's like, "Hey, this is your man." And listen, he rose to the occasion. But I want you to think about your life and your experiences and think, you know, where's the goal in my life? What do I want to achieve? What are the things that I want? Because I talk a lot about that, right? Is that I believe that God put inside of us amazing talents and abilities. And I think, quite frankly, most of us are not going to live up to the potential he's placed inside of us. In fact, it said this, that if you had 100 lifetimes, you couldn't fulfill the potential he's placed inside of you. That's a lot of potential, right? I think our prophet also said that he could create a world and go live on it. Okay? Do you guys, like, do you understand that? You could, hey, there's a world, and go live on Gripton. I don't know, right? That's where Superman came from. But I'm just saying that, you know, you can create a world and go live on it. How cool would that be? Okay, listen, I got enough challenge with my own little world, right? What would that world look like if I were to create it? Okay, there might be some challenges. It might be all about Rocky. That isn't a really great world to live on, right? Yeah, I have to get rid of that kind of stuff and think about other people. But when you're thinking about your dreams and your goals, you know, it comes from the ashes. It comes from the shepherd's field. It comes from, like, you know, we were talking the other day, right? I mean, it took some time to build up your business. And Polly got such a great future ahead of you, right? I mean, with the goals and with the gifts you've been given and being able to manage and lead. And I think of Gideon, right? I mean, you've got a great leadership ability in your life. And Mia, you guys got some awesome stuff happening in your world. You really do, right? And now you're at this formation where if you get around the right people, right, the books you read, the people you associate with, it's good. Hopefully you got good association here. And we talked a lot about this yesterday in our workshop. By the way, we'll back in our plan is to come back in October. So if you miss this one, I won't say too many negative things about you. But we want you to come back, right? Because we want to do it over again. We want to do some more breakout sessions, some cool stuff, right, that really you can use in your life. And I think that we're probably one of the only couples in the entire world of the message that do what we do. But I just want you to know, that kind of wasn't really the plan. It was kind of like God opened the doors for us, and he kept leading and directing and guiding. And if you allow him, he'll do the same thing for you in your life. But you got to be open to that opportunity. You have to be open for him to guide and direct you. You know, one of the problems in our age is the phones, right? I mean, there's a challenge there. Like when we went to school, like you're probably a little older than me, but we didn't have phones, man. You know what I'm saying? Remember the time when they came out the brick? Kids would never know this. Remember the brick ones? Those big, ugly brown ones? We thought those were so cool. I had this one. It was about this big, right? And it was like the phone was attached to it. It was in my car. It had a Mazda. I'm serious. I thought it was so cool. Like, that was awesome. Driving down the road, talking on my phone. What? Driving down the road, talking on my phone, like, it's no big deal. Yeah, well, when they didn't have phones, that was cool. I wouldn't even be talking to anybody. I'll have the phone up. So, talking on the phone. You know, but now they're everywhere. It's part of society. But here's the challenge. It's great for communication, right, this way, but it's not good for this. It's not good for the one-on-one, actually learning people skills and actually connecting one with. We're now more disconnected than we ever were. And you think we have more connection. That's not the case. So then what we talk and teach is like things you do on a daily basis that we won't talk about here. That's why you got to come to the workshop, right, to get that stuff, right, that actually enhance that. We teach skills and talents and abilities that companies like, we want that because we have these millennials that are coming up and we have to learn how to train and teach and work with them. We don't necessarily know because we've been doing business this way for so long. It's kind of like in the message, right? For so long, it's been happening for such a, like, it works if you do the things. How do you grow closer to Jesus? It's really simple, right? Does anybody know? It's two things. Yeah, what is it? What are the two things that help you draw closer to him? Pray? Are you serious? No way. Is it that easy? Are you kidding me? So if I did those two things, I could draw closer to him? No. Is it that easy? He made it that easy. Huh. I wonder if we're doing that. I know I fall short of that, right? Now I can talk and all that, but am I really praying? You know, he does say pray without ceasing. And so I do that. I do my best to do that. I really do. But then there's that reading the Bible part, right? Oh, what? That? There's so many words in it. Where do I start? Right? Like, what? But it's the word, right? It's the word. And if I want to draw closer, that's what I got to do. Okay. So, hey, tell me, if you want to get thinner, right, and I want to lose weight, what do I do? Well, drink more water. What? More water? Are you serious? Man, because I love rock stars and monsters and energy drinks and sodas. And I said water. Oh, like, that's liquid, right? Yeah, we get out of the faucets. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing you could really? Okay, so more water. All right. What else can I eat? We got to eat. Good. Okay, the second part I'm not sure about, but I can eat. Right? It's simple. Right? We just said, just eat four good meals a day. Oh, four? And then you got to do a little exercise. Well, I kind of walk to the car, right? And sometimes I walk to the mailbox, and I... No, that's what you do. There's simple things to get success, right? To go from the fat guy to the lean guy, right? That was a series of things I had to do to get there. Just like drawing closer to the Lord, right? If he's in your life, he's going to show up. And you know how he shows up? A lot of times in just that meek, humble way, right? Because he's a gentleman. He gets the car door for his bride, right? Brings her flowers. He talks to her. He loves on her. And he never pushes himself on you, ever. That's amazing. And that's what he did with me. He was so gentle and so kind. And when I wanted to try and force myself and push myself, Mark, right? I was so good at that, right? Because of my nature, I was like a Peter in some instances, right? I'm trying to, you know, no, I'm going to go do this, right? And he's like, hold on, buddy. Back down, champ. Slow it down. I got to wait for you. You'll get there faster, quicker, my way than your way. Yeah, but you know what it took? What it took for me? I had to listen. I had to be quiet. It's interesting. You ever heard of the story of Adam? Remember Adam? He's the first one, the first guy. Okay. Do you know when Jesus talked to him, when God talked to him, excuse me, was in the cool of the evening. I had someone, because God came to me actually one time. Amazing story. I was out seeking the Holy Ghost, right? So I'm in my 20s, so I'm older than you guys, right? And I was like, do I have the Holy Spirit? I think I do, but I wasn't sure. So I had to kind of know if he was real for me. So I went behind the Superstition Mountains. I was living in Arizona at the time. And if you've ever heard of the Superstition Mountains, you don't hear ghosts or anything. It's just the name of them, right? So I drove back behind there, and I didn't really know about fasting and praying. I really didn't know what that stuff was. I just knew I wanted to do it, and I had to know if this God that I knew my entire life was real. I had to know for myself. And so I went behind the mountain, took my Mazda out there with the cool phone in it, and I parked, and I camped for 2 days, 2 nights and 3 days, right? And I just took water, which was weird because normally I eat. But I didn't eat this night. I thought, well, fasting, that means no need. So I really didn't know all about it. All I knew was I needed to find out if he was real. Amazing, right? I was desperate. Now, this age is a lukewarm age. We don't have really desperation no more. You know, we really don't. Because we have everything we need. We can go down to the supermarket. We can go down to Jack in the Box and McDonald's and get anything we want to eat at any time you want. Like, and seriously, we have enough money, right? Even the beggars on the street got businesses. They're fooling you, man. Yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? We all have enough money. We have enough money to go whatever we want right now, right? So desperation, that's not a big thing. But for me, for my heart at that time, it was, because I needed to know that God was real. So what happened was, I just cried out to him, like I did the whole crying out thing. Like I seriously, like cried out. I had to know. I got really real with God. So I go back a couple weeks later. I remember I was propped up in bed, Bible's on my chest. I remember it was like 12:30 in the morning. And off to my left was this doorway that led into the kitchen and the small like living room. And all of a sudden, I'm just sitting there. It's all quiet, right? Because Bible. All of a sudden, I hear these words, Isaiah 43:1. Kind of like, look down at the Bible, Isaiah 43:1. Second time. Because there's a doorway just like that right there. Dark, early in the morning. Look back. Kind of like that. Not eerie feeling, but I thought I heard something. Enough to turn Isaiah 43, third time. Well, I'm really sharp, right? Took me 3 times, so I had to turn to Isaiah 43:1, okay? It didn't take once. No, it took me 3 times. So I remember turning to Isaiah 43:1. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Like, wow. God himself spoke to me with an audible voice, pointing me to his word, telling me I was redeemed. Like, that's what it, but it took desperation for me to get there. You ever want to really get close to Jesus? All I can tell you is what I've done and what's worked for me. But you know what's interesting, how I share this with you, is because we want to hear the voice, right? We want to hear that voice. And there's the one who went before us, Brother Branham. And it's interesting because there he was. He's like, what do you have need of today? He's like, well, I'm out hunting squirrels. Huh. Let there be squirrels. Right there, squirrels are created right in front. Like, that's the power of the spoken word. That was done in our age. Like, we can hear that. And there he is up on top of that mountain, big old massive storm coming in. And he's like, I need to go down the mountain. And he hears this voice, so he turned around and go back. Remember that one? Remember that part? And he's like, no, I don't want to. No, I can't, because I'm going to die. Right? Because that's how bad it was. He turns around and goes back to the top of the mountain. And he's standing there, and he has this peaceful moment. God spoke, what do you have need of? And he spoke to the storm, and the storm goes away. The power of the spoken word is alive and well in our lives. Here's the challenge, that we don't use it enough. We don't realize the power and the potential that we have in our lives. In fact, we'll use our words, but we'll use them to destroy someone else. We'll use them, to curse somebody driving in front of you at the supermarket. Maybe the wife says something to you, and you use your words in such a way that they pull other people down, and it happens so subtly and so quick. In a matter of moments, you can destroy someone's life by just saying that mean thing at the wrong time, and the next thing you know, there's a wedge in the relationship, or you don't have one. And I shared this again yesterday. You have to come to the next one to hear the story. My point is this, your words will raise up people. They can bless people when you're having get-togethers. And, you know, I grew up in Idaho, and so we camped out a lot, and we had fires. I love those cool fires, right? Right. But just watch conversation and where it goes. It's so easy to go to the negative and what's going on and, you know, what's not happening, all the challenges, and talk about, you know, issues and all these things. When if you could pull it back up and you can get on someone's life and someone's story and the positive things that are happening in their lives, that's where I like to take the conversation. There's something positive that people can go, oh my gosh, I remember that, right? And you can dive into people's stories, and you can get into their lives and what's going on in their life, and then give them those beautiful, wonderful nuggets of hope and inspiration to take them to that next level. And sometimes it's so subtle. It's just, man, you matter. You're important, right? It's the small little things you don't think are important. Like the story I told yesterday about that, you know, young 17-year-old boy who felt like his life did not matter, and that one word saved his life. Hi, saved his life. Hi. You think hi ain't important? To a kid who wants to kill himself, it is, because he thinks he's alone, as he was talking about, pastor talking about being alone. There's a lot more alone people now than there ever was before. With all the technology and stuff we have going on, more alone now than ever before. I was one of those guys that was alone. Oh my, alone. So I felt the pain of really what alone is like. And I wonder, Brother Elijah, I have wondered why I felt so alone. I don't know. But I know this, that I'm living in this treehouse. I got out of the treehouse. I moved into a basement apartment. And I lived in like a basement apartment for like 4 years, two different ones, right? I couldn't even find my way out of the basement apartment for like 4 years. I went from the treehouse to a basement apartment. So I'm living in these basement apartments, and I'm just feeling so alone. And you try and fill the void with things you shouldn't be filling the void with. You guys know what I'm talking about. It could be something, whatever your thing is. But there was this thing inside of me that wanted to not be alone. So I will share this with all the single people in the room, as I did yesterday. And I do this the best way I can. Now, some of you have really cool, amazing marriages. And Sister Sharon, you're such an amazing lady. You just have like a sweet spirit about you, and you've got an amazing husband. I don't know you guys' story, but it's from what I can see, it's pretty cool. Like, you guys got something really awesome going on. Probably Jesus. It's probably Jesus, right? Like, I think that's probably the thing, is Jesus. So, I'm alone. really alone, and like desperately, like I've been in the fetal position, like crying so bad because I had this amazing day and I couldn't share it with anybody. Like, that's horrible. And then just being alone, like there was a pain that came with it that was so deep, deep inside of me that I couldn't quench like that loneliness. I didn't want to be on the mountain alone. I didn't want to do life alone. I didn't want to do anything alone. So I wrote down a list of things that I was looking for in my future mate. Right? Pretty cool thing to do. That's the first thing that I would tell someone to do, is write a list down of what I'm looking for. All the details. What those are. All the cool things, right? All the things that I have in my heart. And then you know what I did? I went to this place on the mountain stream, and I'd go there quite often because I learned from this billionaire guy that I met in Fiji. He said, hey, you know, God gave you 7 days, and I need you have seven, that you know, Sunday, and you go to church and that sort of thing. But then there's this time on Wednesday, I just kind of give to the Lord. That's what he did. And his business grew immensely because he just kind of gave it to God. He's like, I think God can multiply that, and he did in his life. And so I kind of took his advice. So I'd go to this mountain stream up in Idaho, and just me and the Lord, and I didn't take any of my technology, just me and him. And so then you know what I'd do? I'd just talk to him. Yeah, and then I'd find myself crying out to him. Like, I'd just crying out, right? And then I'd talk to him about my future mate. And I'd say, Lord, whatever I'm forgetting, put whatever I'm forgetting inside of her, right? Whatever that is, because I want awesomeness. I want her just to be incredible and amazing. Like, I want amazing, right? And so I was actually asking for redemption, right? I mean, I have a mark on me, right? I don't know too many people that don't have a mark on them in some form or fashion. You can't walk this earth and not have some form or fashion of your marked in some, you know, way. Some mistake that you have made, something you have done, right? That has, like, man, I got that, I did this, or something I said. Nobody's perfect. There was only one, right? And our goal is to get there. But until we do that, we have to keep asking for forgiveness. And I'm pretty sure it's a lot every day. Like 144. You got to really be messing up to ask for a lack. Man, it's like everything you say and screwing off. Okay, I have forgiveness here. Okay, I ask you for... Like, you'd be all day just asking for forgiveness for people, right, if you had to do that. You know what I mean? You really need help. They need to come to our workshops, babe. We need those people. So there I was, right, asking for something that was impossible. Like, amazing and incredible. And then I'd be speaking about it, and I'd be talking about it. So I took my words, and I started using my words, be driving down the road, thank you, Jesus, for this awesome lady. She's so incredible. That is personal time. That brother Joe praying for me. Remember going to the Three Crosses out where our church is, and he's praying for me. Then this one day, right, and I was told, here's what I was told. Now, I don't know what you're told about your dream, right, or but what it is that God's placing your heart, but I was told I needed, you know, because where are you going to go find... Right, with the mark on, where are you going to go find a girl that would marry me? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go find that? Philippines, Russia, they'll take you, right? Colombia, Brazil, they want you. You show up, good-looking guy like you, no problem. In fact, you'll have a lot coming your way. But in my heart, right, I was like Adam. I thought in my heart, I said, no, God, you brought me here. And you brought Eve to Adam, you can do the same thing for me. Yeah, right. Oh my God. Just sharing the story gives me, I mean, it's like excites me thinking that I spoke something and it happened. I was a fat guy, okay, living in a treehouse that became a champion, okay? I walked that path. I know what I'm talking about. I was a single, alone, broken man that now has a manifested spoken word bride. And when you read the story, and if you get to know our story, right, Elijah's true, right? You'll know the story is supernatural. Men that have been in this message for 40, 50 years, he called me a couple of weeks ago. He says, your story, Cheryl's story, is one of the most incredible stories I've heard ever, right, about redemption and about what I'm talking to you about. But she came to me. My bride, she came to me. That's the redemption story. And the redemption story on her side is the message was accepted and the parents accepted it as well. God's got a bigger plan than we think or know, right? And he wants to do more than we can ask or think in our life. We just aren't living up to the potential of what he wants for us, right? We're living with limitations on what we think we can do and where we think we can go. I had no idea, living in a treehouse, that today I'd be speaking in a cool, awesome message church, sharing my story of redemption with awesome, cool people. I always say cool people because there's not, you know, I don't talk to stupid people. I don't have enough time. You know, this is not time. I like hanging out with awesome people, right? And it's so much fun getting a chance to share a story of redemption with you, because it's the greatest thing I think I could do is impart to you the power that already lies with inside of you. That if you could tap into that power, I think you could go create a world and live on it. That's what we've been told. But how about we start with our world? Let's start there first. And I have to say that it's an honor to be here. It's great seeing you guys. I love teens. I'm kind of a big kid, really. I mean, I am. So I kind of relate to them, right? And then you guys showed up too. Hey, great to see you guys. Yeah. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, you came yesterday and Donna, nice to see you. Smiley face. I just love it. You know, and James got big goals, man. Okay? Don't let the devil beat you down. Because he's good at that. That's his goal. He'll find your weakness and he'll just tear you right down. But you got a sweetheart. She's right there with you. Smart kid, too, right? I mean, smart son. Out there doing cool things, man. Yeah. So I just love this. And to reconnect with Brother Elijah and Sister Myrna, I mean, this has been awesome. And God, yeah, it's amazing how he works, right? And he works in your life if you allow him. And we always say this, okay? This is one of the things we speak. We say that we're at the right place at the right time with the right people, and that they show up in our life, and that I'm not at the wrong place, I'm not doing the wrong thing, and that God is real and he shows up in our life, and that we want him to use this. I remember, right, I had nothing, I'm super poor, lost everything, and I'm up on this mountain in Idaho. It's a beautiful mountain. If you're going to go to a mountain, go to a beautiful mountain. That's where I went. And it's like our mission work, right? We're going to Fiji. I thought, listen, you know, I don't want to go to the center of Africa. Nothing wrong with Africa, okay? I want to go to South Africa because it's on the coast mainly, right? But, I mean, listen, we went to Fiji. God called us to Fiji, so we have a mission work we're doing in Fiji. I'm like, listen, people in Fiji, they need Jesus too. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because I love the water. So I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go hang out there. But my point is, listen, God loves you so much. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. He does. He said that, right? Yes. Yeah. And he wants to do more than you can ask or think. And he said that you're more than conquerors. You're more than a conqueror. Think about David, man. He's out there, you know, he wiped out all kinds of guys, bad guys, right? And his men of mighty valor. And the thing is that he was a powerful man, but he also had this heart, special heart, right? I'm like, that's what I want. I want a heart of Jesus, heart of David, right? And I just think that, you know, kind of bringing all this to a close, if you say, Rocky, how do you overcome? Oh, that's simple too. You want to draw closer to Jesus? Read your Bible and pray. Right? You want to lose some body fat? You start feeling three simple things. Same thing with finances. Same thing with relationships. But you really want to overcome? Super simple. Not hard at all. You got to do what I'm telling you to do. And that's got you got to tell your story. You know where that comes from? It's called Revelation 22. They overcame by, right? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is Christ's blood, right? He forgave you, right? That part, pretty important part. The second part is now that you've been over, right? You get to go do what? Tell your story. And you're like, I don't have a story. Everyone has a story. How my story started was I'm at the gym one day. And I remember I was at the gym and this guy that I really admired, he's a dentist and he just looked great, right? And I really just admired him. And so he's at the gym and I'm telling him the story of this guy I met at this company called bodybuilding.com, and it was it's the largest online transformational portal in the world. So they do more stuff than anybody else in the world, right, as far as like stories. And so I'm telling about this guy, and this guy walked through the door. Chris, right? Isn't that amazing? Kind of right time, right place? Huh. I wonder if that really works. I think it does. So he walks through the door, and I'm like, Chris, Chris comes over. Chris, this is Evan. Evan's like, have you heard Rocky's story? And he's like, no. So Evan tells my story. Just like, I'm going to tell your guys a story. They're great stories, right? You don't think they are? They're great stories. Great stories. He tells my story. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a story here? You think I have a story? He's like, oh, you need to send your story in yesterday. My story goes viral. My story. Like, my guy lived in a treehouse, man. Come on. I had nothing. I was a fat guy. Like, depressed. Who wants to hear that story? Apparently, millions of people. Like, it was so boring. Millions of people wanted to hear my story. And so then I realized that my story, the Revelations 22 part thing that we just read to you, is pretty important. That God has your best interest in mind. He wants to tell you a story. He wants you to share your story because that's how you overcome. He wants you to use your words to overcome. Okay? You guys got that? Use your words to uplift people, to encourage people, right? To find something, some way, somehow, you start encouraging people, and it starts with you. Start with yourself. Quit telling yourself negative things in the mirror and start looking at what God said about you and not what the devil says. And with that, I want to say this. You guys are amazing. This is so great to be here and to talk to a message church that believes that there was a prophet that did come, and he did speak the word, and he went before us, and he created things that were not as though they were. And all we have to do is follow that, right? And we're going to be okay. Amen. And with that, I say thank you, and God bless you.
Appreciate you, brother.
God bless you, buddy.
Amen.
Good story. Wow.